Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor Dag Heward Mills. Our message this Monday will give us a deeper insight into the spiritual armor every Christian needs to wear as a vital defense against the devil's spiritual attacks. In today's message, Bishop Dag will teach you what it means to have feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. You will learn about the 9 evils you can avoid by engaging in winning souls for the kingdom of God. Today's word will teach you why the absence of preaching the gospel and a lack of evangelism leaves you wide open to the devil. You're becoming wiser and stronger in the spirit after today's word.
Father, thank you for this opportunity that we have in your house to serve you and to follow you. We are grateful. We ask you to lead us and bless us in this time together. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated wherever you are. It's a blessing to be here again. On those of you who are following closely, we are having even more fellowship than when we used to meet physically, because now we have church 3 times a week and some of the services are 5 hours long. Some are 8 hours long, depending on your ability. Amen. Amen. So every problem presents an opportunity to go higher. Because to overcome means you have to go over. So you have to go higher to come above the problem. So every problem that you encounter will be your stepping stone. Amen. Whatever has decided to fight you and to destroy you will rather end up making you greater and better. Amen. 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 Today, our offering time is going to be connected to Psalm 66. And I want to start with that. And this is more of a prophetic first part of the service. It says in verse 1, make a joyful noise unto God. Amen. Amen. But the prophetic theme is God has transferred me to a wealthy place. Amen. Do you like this transfer? Yeah. God has transferred me to a wealthy place. Sing forth the honor of his name and make his praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. Wow. Enemies, plural. Wow. Well, usually when there are enemies, it's not one. Yeah. It's a number. Yeah. And then we have 2 types. Open, overt enemies and insidious, undeclared enemies who are also enemies. Say unto God, how terrible thou art in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land, and they went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Amen.
Amen.
O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard. You see, there's a lot of praises that are due to God. God cannot praise himself. So our duty, one of the few only things we can do, is to praise God and be thanking him all the time. And so when we shift from that and we become complainers and murmurers and other forms of words come from our mouths, then you see that we are so far from what God expects. No praises, no thanks, no happiness, no joy, but rather negativity. This is something that God doesn't want. And many times when you are negative towards somebody, you are actually being negative towards the person you can't see, which is God. Do you see? Yeah. Are you with me?
Yes.
You know, sometimes you see people are acting out their frustration and their anger on somebody, but the real person they want to, they are not happy with, is not there. You get what I'm saying? Or they can't see him, or they can't actually say it to him. So they are venting it on lesser ranking people. So when you are a leader, you will learn that when somebody is some way towards someone under you, he's also some way towards you. It's just that he hasn't seen you or got the real opportunity to manifest those things. Are you with me? So God notices our negativity. And you can see the psalmist is praising God. Verse 8 says, oh, bless our God, O ye people. Make the voice of his praise to be heard. Now don't praise him quietly. Which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. You'll never be moved.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. He has really tested us and is always testing us, because this life is just a short test to see your qualifications for your throne, your enthronement in heaven, when you'll be ruling galaxies and stars. You know, I saw not so long ago, I saw a picture that the Hubble telescope has taken, and it took a picture of thousands. It just took a section of the Milky Way somewhere, one department somewhere far, and took a picture of thousands of multicolored stars. Multicolored stars. Yes, different colors. Red stars, blue, white, yellow, all. Thousands. I mean, these stars have been there. It's just recently that they sent a telescope. When I was once at the NASA space station, I saw the telescope that they were sending. They were sending a new one. It goes out there, and then it's be taking pictures and sending. And it showed a picture of thousands of multicolored stars.
Wow.
That's the latest one they got. They're all there. What will you say? God is great. Yes. Amen. So, he must be praised. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou layest affliction upon our loins. Thou caused men to ride over our heads. Yeah, some of the bad things we are experiencing, God is actually letting them happen. Why? We went through fire and through water. There are fires that refine us. I mean, after a fire, if you are wood, you'll be gone. If you are metal or gold, you'll be even nicer. Yes. You are refined by fire. And all things that are not gold are gone after the fire. And if you are not substantial and you ought not even to be present, the fire will ensure your removal. So thou broughtest us through fire and through water. You know, that is why cars in certain places, when you are buying a car, they allow you to go for a test drive. To test it. Yes. Untested, you may not be so happy. And all planes. I don't know if you'll be happy if you sit on a plane and they say, this is the first time this plane is going to fly. We are going to try takeoff and we are going to try landing. And we're going to try to see whether the engines are screwed on well. Yes. One day a plane took off from New York, and when it got up, just as it took off, the engine is the big round, it's huge. It's bigger than something like a house. You can stand in it and somebody else can stand on you. Wow. In the big ones. That's inside the round. Every time I'm going on board, I always look at how big it is. And that's why you shouldn't walk in front of it, because it will suck you and you come out as a mincemeat water. Yes. They never turn it on when there's a human being there. If you walk in front of it, it will take you in. It sucks in. Yeah. And the mechanism is like a balloon. You see, when you blow a balloon and it's filled with air and you leave a balloon, you see how the balloon moves fast. The air coming out that makes the balloon fly move. So when the air goes into the engine, it's heated up from the front. Then it's heated up and it becomes like the hot air in a balloon. And when it comes out, it makes the plane go forward. It's like the balloon that is moving this way. Do you understand? Yeah. Art students will not understand this. So that's the whole idea. So that's the power that makes the balloon fly all over the place, is the air coming out. You get it? So don't walk in front of an engine. All right. Now, with my lips have I uttered, verse 12. Thou, we went through fire and through water. That's when we got to the plane that has not been tested. Did I tell you what happened to the plane? The engine fell off. Yeah. The engine came off. Fell into Queens or somewhere in America. That was the end of the plane. Yeah. As it took off, then it just dropped off. I don't know whether they didn't screw it well or what. Yeah. Huh? I object to that. After church, we'll see you. I will not repeat what somebody said here. But thou, listen, after the fire and after the water, he said, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Amen. So then he said, I will go, that's why I said, you are being transferred to a wealthy place. I will go into thy house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows. So you see, paying of offerings, this is before Christ. This is like 4,000 to 5,000 years ago. This Bible. I mean, the beginning is like 6,000 years. Christ is 2,000 and before. So it's like 4,000 years ago. They said, I will go to your house with burnt offerings. I will pay my vows. When I make a pledge, I'll pay it. All that I promised, I will pay. When I said, I'll give you my life, I will pay with my life. Which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. Now, many of us make vows when we are in trouble. God, if you save me, if you save me, you see how I will serve you. Yes. Lord, if you bless me, I'll give you my best, my life. So he said, I will pay my vows which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. So today, anyone who has made a vow or a promise to God when you were in trouble, I am reminding you of your vows. And it's time to pay God your vows. If God does this for me, this is what I will do. And you see, it's a valid prayer. I don't like making promises unless I'm sure I'm going. If I say it, I mean it. If I say it, I mean it. You know, I've learned, it's not that I've learned it, but I've found, sometimes when I hear things, you know, there is no urge to even comment. But when I do, it's coming from within. I mean what I'm saying. Yeah. So sometimes I say nothing. But if I say something, then it's coming from my heart. So you should learn to mean what you say. Yes. Because it looks like God takes note of even the prayers you pray when you are in trouble. And he expects you to keep your vows, even if it's between you and your God. So let's do that. Amen. Amen. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks and with goats. So the bullock is the big one, but there will be some goats also. Why not? If you've brought a bullock, and you add a couple of goats, 3-4 goats. Do you see? Yeah. Now, when I imagine the priests at the tabernacle, 5,000 to 6,000 years ago, people have their farm. The main work in the world was farming. And people have their farms. And you just take what you have suffered to rear and bring up and walk with it with a rope. Pull it with some of the other ones that you have. Maybe you don't have many. Because I tell you, if you have 8 cows and you want them to become 100 cows, it's not a small project. It looks very simple, but you'll be surprised. I had 8 cows for 8 years. I know what I'm talking about. They never could increase. Yeah. And you just lead one of them. And then what are they going to do? They're going to burn it. That's what, listen to the word, burnt offering. It's like you ask yourself, does it make sense? Yeah. When you burn it, how does it help? Yeah. How does it help to burn it? How does it help our lives? And how does it help anybody? And then it looks like the priest takes part and eats some part. When you see them chewing, it's your cow. When you see them making kebab, it's your cow. You'll be thinking to yourself, my cow, they're eating my cow. They are enjoying my labor. They don't do farming. You know, there's nothing new under the sun. All these sentiments and all these feelings, they are things that have been there for years. But you can see that the Bible you believe and the God you believe in, this is what is done. It says, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed be God, which has not turned away my prayer. and nor has he turned away his mercy from me. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't it a beautiful psalm?
Now
we are used to psalms because we've been praying with the psalms. Isn't it? The psalms are not as meaningless as they used to be. You are seeing that there are a lot of things in them. Amen. So, I believe according to verse 12, thou hast brought us out. Now, bringing you out is a process. It says, God has transferred you. He brings you out into a wealthy place. So, that is something that I want you to believe in. That God is the one who can bring you to a wealthy place. He has the power.
Hallelujah.
He has the grace. He has the angels. Hey, it's either real or it's not real. There's either Jesus who is real looking at me and listening to me talking, what I'm saying, with angels that are here that we cannot see, a heaven that has many people that we know who have passed on and are there waiting and also watching us, a hell full of people who did not believe in God and rejected God, and all these realities, and we here under the test of not seeing but being made to believe what we don't see. Yeah. This is all the reality that is going on. So as I'm here now, we can only see what we can see.
Yeah.
And the things which we cannot see are also powerful and real.
Yeah.
So it's up to us to live our lives according to what God says in his word.
Amen.
So today, I want you to know that God brings you not only through good things to a wealthy place. Sometimes it's the fire and the water, you know, that is what you must pass through to come to a wealthy place. And so let us be open. You never lack direction for your life. Yes. And you must be open to powerful and spiritual experiences.
Hallelujah.
Yesterday, I just felt the need to read about angels and about supernatural direction. So I was looking at one of Kenneth Hagin's visions again. I've read it a number of times, but maybe there'll be something. You know, and I noticed that when the Lord appeared to him, the Lord told him that a year ago, my angel, who was also standing there, came to visit you. But you did not receive him in your heart. He said you knew that there was somebody there. But you did not. It's like you were not open to something like that. And the angel had come specifically to warn him to get ready for a financial difficulty that was going to come. And he said, because you didn't listen and you didn't open yourself up, the thing is coming. But this is what he's coming to tell him. And he said, I spoke to you a year ago, but you were not open to it. No, either these things are being made up or they are real. Yeah. Yeah. Now, later on, when he had an accident and the Lord appeared to him again, the Lord told him, this is the third time I'm telling you about this. That time he was not taking his apostolic ministry, prophetic ministry, seriously, as much as he was doing the teaching. And the Lord told him, this is the third time I told you. So because of that, I'm allowing all these things to happen. Yeah. So I don't know who you are, but what has God maybe been telling you? Like, Charlie, is there something that he's been saying? You know, maybe that you are not listening, or something that he wants you to do. And sometimes we sense that we are having a supernatural experience, but it's like it's not real. But I want you to know it's real.
Amen.
Yeah. And what the Spirit keeps telling you, and you sense God speaking you up to you about something you need to do. You know, what is all this? I've spoken to you 1 year ago. What has he told us a year ago?
Hey.
You know, that is like we are not also hearing it. You know, and then it's like I've spoken, this is the third time I've spoken, so now this one is coming. So let's open our hearts to be spiritual.
Amen.
I don't want you to give money and to give offering without being spiritual about it. You must really believe things. Yeah, because God's power is real. And his grace is real. His power is real. Look at Exodus 23. I want you to see very clear benefits for serving God. Like he lists them in verse 25. It says, you shall serve the Lord. The benefit number one, you shall bless your bread. You see, you'll be blessed. Your bread will be blessed. I mean, he's mentioning the direct benefits of serving God. Directly. You shall bless your bread. Now, it has been found that most of the corona comes from something you touch and then you put your hand on your face. Plus the air droplets and the air. So it's what you touch and what. So the food that we touch and so on. You get what I'm saying? And then you don't wash your hand and then you put your hand towards your face. Most of the infections come from that plus the aerosols or the air ones. The breathing. He shall bless your bread. So you can see now you're understanding why bread must be blessed. And then bless thy water. And then he says, I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Ask any doctor whether he has the answer to all sicknesses. And the reason for all sicknesses. Yes. Verse 26. The more blessings. There shall nothing cast their young. So nobody will have miscarriages. Miscarriage of pregnancies. It's a direct benefit of serving God. Nor be barren in thy land. That means you'll be fruitful.
Amen.
Yes, you'll be fruitful. All types of fruitfulness. Yes, nor be barren. All forms of barrenness and all forms of fruitlessness are out of your life as you serve the Lord. It's a direct benefit. Financial fruitfulness, any kind of fruitfulness. And the number of thy days I will fulfill. And you see, it takes power to fulfill your days. The way the world is, if God doesn't exert power, you will not fulfill your 70 years. The number of thy days I will fulfill. Then, verse 27, that's not the end. I will send my fear before thee. I will send what? My fear. There will be an aura. I said there will be an aura. Yes. And people will know when they are dealing with you that they should be careful. Yes. I will send my fear before thee. And I will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. Karama tolaba. I will make your enemies turn their backs. That means you see them fleeing. And that's why you see their backs. I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. Whatever represents an enemy in your life, supernaturally, narato kamalo daramandalaba, their backs shall be turned unto thee.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ. So receive hope and encouragement for your life. You see, God is moving you. Say transfer. Movement. Yes. There must be movement into a wealthy place.
Amen.
Movement. I've not yet seen God moving without movement. Yeah. There's rarely God moving without movement. Something will be happening. Something new. something great, some change. He says, He has brought me. He has done what? Brought me into a wealthy place. Thou broughtest us out. May God bring you straight into the wealthy place that he has planned for you. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Are you ready for the word of God? I can't hear you. Are you ready for the word of God? And for those of you at home, all of you joining us by the viewing centers all over the world, you're welcome to the prophetic encounter service. And your life is never going to be the same again. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
I didn't hear you. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
How many of you are excited to learn how to protect and defend yourself? Oh, I can't see your hands in the studio. I'm sure at home you're much more involved. But wave at me if you are excited about learning how to defend yourself. And I know that Satan has no place in the First Love Church. And we're getting stronger and stronger, fighting the wiles of the devil. Amen. So let's sing our song of faith, declaring that nothing is impossible as we put our trust in the Lord. Come on, lift your voices and sing, nothing is impossible.
It's impossible when you put your trust in love.
Come on, sing it again, nothing is impossible.
It's impossible
when you're trusting in his word. Say, hearken to the voice. Is there anything too hard?
Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust in God alone and rest upon his word. Oh, everything,
yes.
Everything is possible with God.
Come on, lift your right hand to the heavens and declare, nothing is impossible. Come on, if you are believing God for something this week, lift your hands and declare, nothing is impossible.
When you're trusting in his word.
Now speak to your life and say, hearken to the voice.
Is there anything too hard for me? Then put your trust.
Come on, First Love Church, give the Lord a shout of praise. And let's welcome our pastor, Bishop Dag Heward Mills. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and we ask you to guide us by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our subject is how to defend yourself. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Amen.
Amen.
Now, the fact is that we do not understand everything. We are very, very, very limited on earth. If you look out where you are standing or sitting, you'll see that your vision goes up to a point. Beyond a point, you can't see. So even with your physical eyes, you are limited. If you want to walk somewhere, you realize that you can only walk up to a point and you fall down tired and you sleep in the forest or wherever you are. No matter where you are. I know somebody told me he used to sleep in the forest. He just lie down and sleep in the middle of the forest in the night because he's tired. He doesn't think about the cobra, snake, viper, nothing. He just sleeps. And he wakes up normally. You get it? And if you want to do exercise, you realize that up to a point, from a certain point onwards, you cannot do. So we are limited in terms of even how far we see, how small we see. viruses as they're showing you the picture. When I was in school, I don't think the picture of a virus was clear like the way you see the corona picture and so on. It's not like that. Now it's clearer. 30 years on, it's clearer. So we are fighting things. They said it's called principality. They said they are called powers. They said they are called spiritual wickedness in darkness. And they say they are rulers of the darkness. At the same time, they say they are unclean spirits. They say they are demons. They say there's Satan. They say there's Lucifer. I mean, there seem to be a lot of bad things out there. You get what I'm saying? So how do we defend ourselves from these entities and beings that are around, that can see us, that we can't see them? And it's really some way. But the reason why we are going to get a reward is because even though we do not see, we believe. So the reason why somebody like Stevie Wonder is so great is because though he cannot see, he has been able to do such nice music and play the piano. He played a piano in our church the other day. Remember? Those who were there. So, and those who can see can't play. You know, you can see the white keys and the black keys and you can't play. You get what I'm saying? Now here comes somebody who cannot see and he's playing. It's a wonder. So, I'm trying to explain why you will have a reward in heaven, because though you cannot see, look at the great things that you are doing. You can't see the things that are fighting against you, but you are pressing on. Do you see? Yeah. So if you only look at the visible, you are not a man of faith. Now, to protect us from attacks, and because after the attacks, there will be troubles, fire, difficulties. We have been given a very clear list of things that will help greatly to defend ourselves from all types of attacks. We've been given a list. This will make you have a strong defense against all sorts of things that want to invade your life. All right? And we must believe in these lists, this list. And that's what Paul has given to us. He said, therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, when somebody is taking, there are people that take many tablets a day. When the medicine is many ones, one of the reasons why they combine them sometimes in one tablet is because when you have many to take, you know, what happens is you take and then this one got finished. So you are taking only two out of the three or out of the four. And it's like you take. That's what happens. And people have a big crisis. Because when you don't take all, you know, it can be like you didn't take it. And then it becomes a problem. So when you don't put on the whole armor, you are very good in these areas. But in this area, you leave it out. Before you realize, the problem that can come is huge. Yes, as if you didn't wear anything at all. So put on the whole armor of God, which is weapons. Now, he now goes through practically what is the whole armor. Number one, stand with your loins girt about with truth. And that is where we see that any kind of untruth about you is not good. It's a gap. And it is spotted clearly by you know, have you seen a man who is not wearing his belt or is well? What do they call it? The one that goes down. Yeah. Sagging. Yes. People are calling somebody's name. I don't know whether it's right to use somebody's name. But you see that the trousers have come down. And it's half of the bottoms are off. You get it? Yes. So when you see a person who is not wearing his belt or the trousers are too big or whatever, it doesn't take a magician. Even if you are in class 2 or 3, you can see that there's a problem with the belt, or he didn't have his belt. So the demons easily spot someone who is not having his belt of truth. It's just, you just look at you and say, this one. So deceptions of all sorts, lies, self-deceptions, deceiving people, deceiving others, all this which we laugh about. How many have told 100 lies? Oh, I've told 120. Oh, as if it's something to be happy about. But I tell you, it's something that the demon sees. And I have heard a demon say, the belt of truth was loose. That's how I came into this person. So I want you to check your life and zero, no lying in your life. Now lying moves to deception. Then deception moves to acting, where you live a lie. It's like you are this, but you are that. You get what I'm saying? Yes. So that is just a big, wide open door for a big attack. It's just a matter of time. Ask your neighbor, are you an actor? Are you from Hollywood or Nollywood or Bollywood? Flollywood. God forbid. Now, the next thing is the breastplate of righteousness. Yes. The breastplate of righteousness. Now, you will see that every form of unrighteousness opens you up. It's something that is seen in the spirit. It's not seen physically, but it's seen in the spirit. And the demons spot through. So, you find out that there's very little you are able to do. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Amen. Now, a combination of no belt and no righteousness is quite a combination, because your shirt is not on and your trousers are falling off. Yes. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you see in verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. So Satan comes with power, with signs and lying wonders. And verse 10, notice. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. So you have, as there's a certain deceivableness of unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is deceptive. You see, unrighteousness is also mysterious. That's why the Bible speaks of the mystery of iniquity. The mystery. Iniquity has hidden things about it. And it is mysterious in how it even comes about, how it persists, and even the effects of it. And what starts it, and everything about iniquity, there is a mystery. That's a verse even right before. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It is mysterious. When you encounter iniquity, you see that it has a mystery. And you look at people. When they are in bondage, and cannot come out of things, it doesn't even make sense. And you see that there's a mystery connected to the iniquity. Yeah, the mystery of iniquity, which is overcome by the mystery of holiness and righteousness. Yes. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Yes. The mystery of righteousness and the mystery of holiness. So, the mystery behind iniquity is the power of Satan. You see, who's coming is after the working of Satan. So the working of Satan causes iniquity. Where there's a lot of sin and a lot of evil, there is a power that is at work. In every country, every region, every area where iniquities of certain types are, there is a power. You see in the Bible earlier, I say that, and Satan rose up and provoked David to count the people. Satan provoked him. Yes, to count. And God did not like. Satan stood up and provoked David to number Israel.
Wow.
He was provoked. In the spirit, he was provoked to do evil. Yes. The mystery of iniquity. There are mysteries behind evil. When people do things, you wonder that you don't remember anything at all. Nothing at all. What you are doing, what you are saying. Don't remember anything. The mystery. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And when David was provoked to number Israel, you should see the plagues that came after. Because God has said, don't count the people. My people, I have enough people. I don't need you to count it. And depend on a counted number of people. Satan provoked him. Yes. You look at somebody like Judas. He said, and Satan entered into him. That's when he became Judas. Yes. You know, it doesn't even make sense. The man is here. You are getting your daily. You are in charge of the money. You are not making accounts to anybody. You are not accounting to anyone. You count it. You spend it. When there's shortage, nobody knows. When it's over, nobody knows. And you are getting something all the time. Why would you kill the source of your money? Because he was a thief. Why do you destroy the one through whom you are even getting money? It doesn't even make sense. You see him even raising Lazarus from the dead, and you see the things that have been done. Bible says, and Satan entered into Judas. And so you see many evils have no, it doesn't go logically. The mystery of iniquity. Are you with me?
Yes, yes, yes.
So, you must know that all forms of unrighteousness make you naked. And the demons are just standing right there. And they say, ah. So when the devil comes, one, then he calls destruction, come. Demolition, come. Sickness, come. This, come. Then they all come and they join their arms together with a 7-man bond. And surround you. That is why you ask yourself, you don't remember anything at all? Look at what you are doing. Look at what you are saying. You don't remember anything at all. You even wonder. It doesn't even make sense. Satan provoked David. Yeah. He was pushed. Whatever pushes you ends today.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So you will not be found in any demonic activity.
Amen.
After this sermon, your defenses will be intact.
Amen.
You must fear evil. You see, you have to fear God. One of the things, you see, fearing God is very connected to righteousness. Because most unrighteousness is done in secret. You see, I want to say it here. Most unrighteousness is done in secret, so, and nobody sees it. I was surprised to find the other day that a huge percentage of murders are never discovered, even in America. I think more than half. Like they never find a murderer. Yeah. They never find it. They never find it. That's probably why people commit murder. Because a lot of people get away with it. So most unrighteousness is done secretly. So it is when you don't fear God that when you are in secret, you either speak what you should not speak, do what you should not do. Yeah. So the lack of the spirit of holiness. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, you know, the Bible says Jesus Christ was made the Son of God, or he was made great according to the spirit of holiness with power. He was made the Son of God with power by the spirit of holiness. So power works through the spirit of holiness to make you what God wants you to be. He was declared to be the Son of God with power. No, he was not struggling with power by the spirit of holiness. So it's important that we respect these things. He didn't just come and walk around, but by the spirit of holiness, with power, he became what God had wanted him to be. He was on the throne as the Son of God. You will be on the throne that God has for you. By the spirit of holiness, with power. Look at it. Declared. You see, you are declared something by power. Power makes you what you are supposed to be. And that power works according to the spirit of holiness. Never fight holiness. Never fight separation to God. Never fight uniqueness. Never fight aloneness when God makes you odd and looks so silly and stupid in God. Now, the third one, which is for today, is the next defense. And that is having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Amen. Now, the absence of the gospel, the absence of the gospel in your life is a wide open door to the enemy. Yeah, the absence of preaching the gospel. Once you take it off, you are wide open. This is what people don't realize. Perhaps, maybe that would be the more of the reason why we should be involved in the preaching of the gospel and evangelism. It's even your defense. Yes, your defense is a defense. Yes. Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, are you there? After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and every place. It's not the first time Jesus has sent people to every city and every place. We are not the first. Others were sent before we've been sent. Go whither he himself would come. Therefore he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Go. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Verse 3. Go your ways. Or what? Go into the world. Preach the gospel. I send you forth as lambs in the midst of wolves. And the 70 returned, verse 17, again with what? Joy. Joy. Saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. In other words, they were surprised. They were surprised that it worked. You'll be surprised that it will work. Amen. When you obey God. You'll be surprised. Taramashakapa. Depression launches heavy strikes on your soul when you are not involved with soul winning. Yes, because they returned with joy. You see, there is nothing that makes you have spiritual joy like soul winning. There's nothing like it. I can tell you, I've been a Christian for so many years, serving the Lord and working in the church. Yeah. There's nothing like soul winning. I won't lie to you. And I don't want to tickle you and dangle in front of you something to make you jealous. There is nothing like evangelism that is nice in the church work. There's nothing like that. It is nicer than, well, to me, it is nicer than all the other jobs. Yes. Joy. Joy. When you become involved in winning souls, there's a joy that comes. Even there's such a joy that has come into our ministry because of Healing Jesus campaign. There's some reason for what we are doing. There's some reason for what we are doing. And the 70 returned again with joy. You come with joy. And you have joy in your heart, joy in your soul, joy in the ministry. There's some happiness. There's some relief. There's some excitement. Yes. And where evangelism is out, which is out in most churches and most pastors, a certain darkness of depression, of sorrow. Look, you know, one day I had the privilege of being with some grown-up pastors, and then I was with some younger pastors. I realized the difference. The grown-up pastors, this one had cancer, this one had cancer, this one had this problem, this one was trying to divorce, we were trying to... When I came to the other side, so this one has a beloved, this one I'm not sure whether the beloved is the right beloved, this one is going on a honeymoon, this one doesn't have money for accommodation. I mean, simpler problems. Oh. And it's exactly like that in the ward, in the hospital. When you go to a pediatrics ward, the diagnosis and the problems there are very different from the medical ward where the grown-ups are. Totally different. So, there are many problems that are going to bring depression and sadness and sorrow. But when you give yourself to evangelism, hallelujah. Yes, there is joy. Always. So, you protect yourself from severe depression, sorrow, sadness, melancholy. Yes. Melancholia, if you like. Yes. Melancholia, I'm sure it's a word. Yes. And it is a defense in your life. Amen. Are you with me? It's a word, melancholia. A kind of mental unsoundness characterized by extreme depression of spirits, ill-grounded fears, delusions, and brooding over one particular subject or train of ideas. Melancholia. Yes. Amen. Are you there? Amen. Now, joy will characterize your life. And you protect yourself from sadness. And there can be a lot of sadness just in the church. One day my mother, I think I was going for a funeral or I was attending to some odd problem. She asked me that, how come I know so many problems and things, bad things that have happened? And I said, well, it's a church. In a church, there are many things. Yes. In a church, there are many things. Yes. Are you there? Beautiful. Number two. When you... So you protect yourself from spirits of depression and negative moods and attitudes. And I want to tell you something. When you get married, you will see the moods and the attitudes and the flow of the person you are with 100 times more than the physical body of the person. Yes. You will see it more. Ratapatapala. Whoever you are with, as you are now using beauty to draw yourself to somebody, I said, when you marry, you will see the body, you will not see the mood, the attitude, the flow, the melancholia, the joyfulness, the atmosphere created is what you will see and taste more than the physical beauty. You will not even notice that the person is wearing rags. Yes. One day I asked a sister, when was the last time, the husband and they were all there, when was the last time you bought a knife? Said, oh, that they were missionaries. He said, oh, it was in Ghana. It's about 9 years ago. That was the last time I ever bought a nightie. So you will not even know, the husband has not even noticed. Whatever is there is whatever was there. It is the attitude and the mood. Can you imagine a girl who has not got a dress for 9 years? See, they have not noticed it in the house. Other things have blocked their view. Psalm 91, verse 14. Number two, you lose your divine protection from evil when you are not winning souls. So, you are exposed to all kinds of attacks. And Psalm 91 and verse 40 says, because he has set his love on me, I will deliver him. So now, because you have not set your love on him, he doesn't deliver you. And he does not set you on high. Because to love God is to love soul winning. Once you stop soul winning, I want to tell you, you want to end certain attacks. Keep moving on. And keep reaching out. Yes. Let them say whatever they want to say. There are so many souls for us to win. Yes. Amen. He shall call on me, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. But now he will not deliver you. He will not answer you. Because you don't love him. And because you don't love him, you don't obey him. He that hath my commandment, and he it is that keeps my commandment, he is the one who loves me. So as soon as you start winning souls, you immediately demonstrate and invoke divine protection from all sorts of things. Yeah. Win souls, yes, even if you can't fast and pray. Win souls, be an evangelistic person. Give yourself to evangelism. The heartbeat of Jesus, go into all the world and see. Immediately, all sorts of things are activated for you. Stop doing it. Look at the church which has stopped reaching out. What have we become? You know, when I went to Rwanda, and they said, pastors were involved in the genocide. I didn't believe it. I thought to myself, you know, it's just one of these same people are against churches and pastors. Then I decided to read about it. I couldn't believe what I saw. The pastors involved in killing people because they are from a different tribe. Taking bulldozers and bulldozing down churches filled with people. You can't believe it. You see, when you see Pharisees and who are pastors, senior pastors and high priests, putting the Son of God to death It should show you what the church can become when it is separated from its core function. Yes. Where there are souls to be won, you have time to kill and attack and do everything except your actual work. So when you look around, you see churches just trying to stay together, just trying to have more members and have more money and have more whatever. But to go out there, that's why when we are praying for the nation, it even looks odd. We mention all sorts of places. Hey, is this a place? And you see that each country has got cities with people. So you see divine backups and support is not there. Yeah. Divine backup is not there. Because you are wide open. The enemy can see. There's nothing to this one. It's just a pastor. Yeah, just a pastor. It's a prophet. He says he's this, he's that. Souls are nothing. Souls. And pastors do not even know how to preach evangelistic message. That's why I wrote that book, How You Can Preach Salvation. Pastors don't even know how to stand and preach for souls to be won. Yeah. No wonder he will not be with you anymore. And he will not deliver you. The other day I saw that God had given me an angel that has been with me since I became a believer. And since I entered into the ministry, has been with me and has fought for me supernaturally. I saw it. Number three. When you remove the gospel of preparation of the gospel, which is a defense, you open yourself to being directionless and aimless. So aimlessness and going around in circles without knowing it, every time you turn, you are turning back to where you started from and you keep going around. You never go forward, but you go around in circles. Yes, you keep going around. Kenneth Hagin said, one time he was praying and his hand was going around like this and the Spirit said to him, you are going around in circles in your ministry. And your life goes around in circles. Churches go around in circles. And by the time you finish going around in circles, you see that the people who are around are fewer. Wow. It's true. One of the reasons why we have not reopened is because of the numbers of people are too many to open. When we open for our facility, it will be a problem. And we don't want to have a problem. Yes. Numbers. Going around in circles is one of the evils that has befallen those who are not into evangelism. I'm telling you, going around in circles. In your business, you'll be going around in circles. In your life, you'll be going around in circles. In your church, you'll be going around in circles. Luke chapter 15. What woman, having 10 pieces of silver, if she loses one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? When she has found it, she calls her neighbors and her friends together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I have lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Coins, polishing, put it down, polish, the next one, polish, the next one, and you see yourself just doing the same thing over and over and over again. Even it doesn't even make sense, the work you are doing. During the Second World War, they made professors and very intelligent people do certain jobs that would make them go crazy. They had rocks here, and they say, carry this rock from here to here. And when they moved all the rocks there, they said, move it back here. So that was all the work. These are clever scientists. And it's difficult, you know, you have a certain level of thinking and you are given certain mundane jobs, it's difficult to do. It's very difficult. Just do this 3 times a day. Or just go from here to here, turn right, turn left, turn right. Then when you finish, you come back, turn right, left. Do it 9 times. It's quite difficult. Going around in circles, your life is meaningless as you keep on polishing the same coins. And you just wash it back, wash it back, wash it, put it back, wash it, put it. A church is like that. Till the day we say we are going out, suddenly we see that, hey, there's something to do. The day we say we are going to Kathmandu, the day we say we are going to Kazakhstan, suddenly there's work, and suddenly you see that we feel now some tension. I never felt more tension than the day that I said I'm starting Healing Jesus campaign, and I knew that nobody knows me as an evangelist. I'm going to start preaching the gospel. Hey, going out there, that is where I saw that, yes, instead of going around in circles, the same circles in Kolegono, going around in circles, I was moving forward, and I moved forward financially, spiritually, ministry, everything. Going around in circles ends when you start doing evangelism, and you are wide open to confusion. Confusion of faces belongs to you because you are not into evangelism. Confusion of faces. Number 4, uncertainty comes into your life. You are wide open to uncertainty and sudden collapse of everything. Sudden what?
Collapse.
Collapse. If you like, stay in the church. Look, Christian girl, Christian boy, if you like, just stay without becoming an outreacher. Stay there and see. Suddenly, you see that there's nothing left. Jesus said in Matthew 7:26, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto. You see, when you hear this saying, go into the world, preach the gospel, and doeth them not, you shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall. Great is the fall of a church when it is not in evangelism. Yes. These sayings of mine, great is the fall of the church when it fails to go out into the world. That's why people are sending this forwarded video of Christianity decreasing and other religions increasing. That's why they are forwarding all those videos. Like we are gradually reading, because you will not see people standing as evangelists as some years ago. You see people have been sent as missionaries who are like, a missionary is like a permanent evangelist. 1847 in Ghana, permanent evangelists came from Switzerland, from Germany. They came to Keta, they came to Abetifi, they came to Mampong, they came round, standing as permanent evangelists. And bore fruit. And the winds come, the floods come, but he's not able to remove the church. Today, you will hardly see people who so call themselves the church going to stand somewhere to say, here I am. I am here because of Christ. Only for business. The things people can do for business and for work. The places they can stay separated from their families. People can go and do course 2 years, 3 months away from their family. They will not see their family for 2 years, 3 months. Sometimes 3 years. And so, see you later. It's not a problem. Great is the fall. The sun, the water comes. Maybe those of you who don't go to the beach, you know, it's a pity you live in any country, you don't learn how to swim. I think it's a problem. If you go to the beach, you will see when you lay sand, you make it. I have done that before, making a big house on the shore, on the sand. The sand castle. the next mighty wave. The next what? Mighty wave. And all my efforts, my energy is gone. One day I was somewhere and somebody came to me, but I was there, but the person thought I wasn't there. So left a card. And the card was a card of a place that most people would like to work at. So I am the executive whatever of this. But when I saw that, I heard a voice behind me saying, it's an executive manager of a sandcastle. Of a what? Sandcastle. All you need is a mighty wave. A mighty what? Wave. And you see, we have had waves in Ghana. It's gone. One, and it's gone. When you give yourself to evangelism, I don't know how, but I know that it secures you, because whoever hears these sayings of mine, when you support evangelism, when you sow seeds in it, you give what you should give, and you do what you are supposed to. When there's outreach, you are not a big shot. Too big to go on outreach. You know, I just watch people. There's small prosperity. Small prosperity, you are not into evangelism. Our church became established years ago in terms of income, attendance, membership. Years. Kolegono was a mega church. Mega church. We're having miracle waves. Miracle what? Waves. We had overflows. Yes. Yes. Outside, inside, outside, with miracles. Long ago. Yes. If that is what we're looking at, to secure ourselves, to become bigger, we'd have been going around in circles, and waves will be coming to wipe away sand castles. There is nothing like evangelism, the preparation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as a defense. And once you take off evangelism, once it's not part of the Bible school, it's not part of a church, it's not part of your personal life, the person you don't witness to will now witness to you. The boy you didn't witness to. I don't want to say on the microphone what he has done to you. The boy you didn't witness to. Yes. Tamakora mandala baba. Amen. Now, how many do you have? Four. It doesn't matter how many you have. What number five. When evangelism is off in your life, when evangelism is off, it opens you up to abominations. Yes. It opens you up to what?
Abominations.
Now, which group has more abominations than the church? Yes? Which group has more abominations than the church? The church is full of abominations. Yes. Full. Yes. Abominations. Why? Proverbs 11 verse 1. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but the just weight is his delight. Amen. A just weight is his delight. Fair and equal sharing of your money, of your time, and of your effort into soul winning, which is the proper and main task. If it's the main thing, why does it not receive energy, time, money, and what is important to us? Why does it not receive it? Thank God, you people, better thank God for healing just coming. Pray that it will continue even when I'm not alive. When healing Jesus began, new life and a new joy and a new pride, if you like, or not really the right word, but if you can come up with a word, a new joy, yes, about something great to do, a reason for all that we are doing. a reason for everything. When a church lacks outreaches and soul winning and prayer for soul winning, you see, you something is gone, and we are wide open to all sorts of things. Wide open. The enemy is just looking at us. But when you have to go and reach out, you have to pray, you have to organize, you have to mobilize, and your time is concentrated on something, and that's where the balance should be. But you see, 99%. And so what? And they say outreach warriors and prayer warriors are somewhere. Outreach team and prayer warriors. That's why I myself am doing the outreach. You know, I don't even know whether I'm called to be an evangelist. I don't know so much about that. But the Bible says, do the work of an evangelist. Yes. So my evangelism may actually just be a good pastor who is evangelizing. A good shepherd, living the lost. But not that even like I'm, because it's not my main thing. Yes. Number 6. You are defenseless against persecution. Defenseless against persecution when you put aside evangelism. Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting to his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made a great lamentation. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church. This is the church which Jesus has said, go, they won't go. So Saul came and made what? Havoc of the church. Entering into every house. Eh? And hailing men and women and committed them to prison. I mean, Paul was imprisoning people. When we talk about the chiefest of sinners, that's what he was explaining it. He's done a lot of things. Carried a lot of prisoners. Verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Now before. Yes. Amanda Berry Smith said, Amanda, a lady, she said, to stay here and disobey God, I can't afford to take the consequence. To stay here and disobey God, I can't afford to take the consequence. As Amanda said it. You don't know her, but I'm telling you what she said. I would rather go and obey God than to stay here and know that I disobeyed. I would rather go and obey God than to stay here and be thinking every day that I have disobeyed. The consequence is too much to not to go. Persecutions and troubles are successful when you are stuck in the mud. Yes. Yesterday, I was looking for something to watch to just come, and I saw some soldiers in a film. And when they were in Iraq, when they got to a place, people were shouting around them. And so the commander said, look, we are in danger. We are stuck here. We've got to keep moving. We've got to keep moving. It's like they are sitting ducks. We've got to keep moving. We've got to keep moving. It's dangerous. We've got to keep moving. Come on, move. Everybody move. Come out of the car. Move the crowd. Because the crowd was like, hey, what are you doing here? Why are you here? Why are you here? You are disturbing us. You are disturbing us. We don't want you in our country. And the convoy was stuck. And the people said, the man said, look, move. We have to keep moving. We have to keep moving. You are in danger. Yes. We've got to keep moving. It is very dangerous to stay stuck in one place and you are not moving. That's what I say. Anytime God is moving you to the wealthy place, there will be movement. And we have always moved. And I thank God for the people that God has given me. My wife has always flown. I told her, this is what we are doing. Bishop Saki, Bishop Eddie, every movement. Charlie, let's move here. Let's move here. Let's go here. Let's do this. Every time there's a move, there's a move. And the movement happens. If it was some other people, these moves would not be possible. Today I get up. You see, once I started, I said, we are doing crusade. It's gospel crusade. The next moment I come and say, no, I'm doing it myself. Healing Jesus campaign. If you don't have flexible people who are ready to move here, move here, move here. Today, we're going to start a branch here. Okay, tomorrow, come here. Tomorrow, do this. It's all part. Without the ability to move, the church ends. That's why when you have pastors who are not prepared to be transferred, they are actually the insidious killers of a ministry. Yes, including bishops. You must be ready to go anywhere. That's the difference between full-time ministry and lay ministry. Yes, and we will always be moving. At least if I'm around, there will be movement. Yes. Amen. They were scattered abroad. They were what? Scattered. Do you want to be scattered by a madman like Paul? I mean, he's not mad now, but he was mad at that time. Father, forgive me if I've said anything bad. Crazy people come along and try to scatter. But you see, you've already moved. You've already moved. You're already here. You're already there. You already moved out of here. Nowhere. You see, all the things we have, God gave them to us. We didn't know how to sit on nice chairs. So if you have got a settee, what do you call it, and you are sitting, we don't already know how to sit. We bought them. When you watch the film of the history of the church, you see where the church came from. It didn't come from, I mean, a luxurious point of view. It came from zero. Yes, hard wooden pews. At Kolegono, I think some are still there. I don't know if they are still there. Are they still there? Are you sure they are still there? We need to keep one as a museum, you know. Amen. Are you still around or you are leaving? Now, the next evil that you are defenseless against, I wish it never on you. I wish it what? Never on you. And that is a murder charge. Ezekiel chapter 3. If there is a murder charge on you, that's it. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning. In other words, you don't do your evangelism, nor speakest to warn. You don't go out and tell them, pastor, you have a church. Where is your evangelism? Where is your evangelism? Where do you lead the people out to go out and reach out and win souls and bring people to Christ? Many of my bishops, when they tell their testimony of how they got saved, you cry. You feel so amazed. God, you really save people through breakfast meetings, through outreaches. If you take some of the bishops, I think in some in England and Switzerland and so on, when they give the testimony of what they were like, when you see the testimony of Bishop Apache walking by the road and have a crusade, Bishop Saki was preaching at the crusade. That's when he gave his life. Look at the church. You see people saved. Is that the end of reaching out? When you stop reaching out, you open yourself up to all kinds of things. Look at this. It says, when thou speakest to warn the wicked from his way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his shadow, but his blood will I require thine hand. Last week, a pastor killed his wife. I saw it on the news. When he shot her, you see, immediately the state is the government. They are looking for the blood. We need you. So a free man. Now, forever. And I check in Florida, is death sentence. Yes, death sentence or death or, yeah, for first degree murder. First degree murder is where you have planned it to do it. Second degree is you didn't plan it, but you did it. And third degree is you just did it accidentally, but you still kill somebody. As soon as the whole state, so they announced, oh, he was apprehended without, they caught him without any struggle. The whole world is after you. So when we don't go out, the blood of people, you know, the people that you see who are saved, all their blood would have been on your hands, on somebody's hands. And that blood is causes demons and other things to look for you. Say, this man is guilty of the blood of all these people. Yes. That's what happened. You suddenly you see painted a red light flashing. Then you see guns. You see this. You see this. Everything is after you. And you are defenseless. What you will say? What you will do? Yeah, what else is going to be your explanation? The blood of people. That is how it is for people who have declined the call of God. God called you instead of obeying, instead of going out. Look at the reasons you are giving there. You are smelling. Number 7. It protects you from smelling to God. Smelling what? God. Smelling to God. Being ugly to God. When God sees you, you are not nice. You go and propose to somebody and look at you. You are not nice. But they won't say you are not nice. They'll just be thinking ahead. They say, oh, you know, my father doesn't like this, whatever. I said, oh, because I'm in school now. And, you know, I think. But the reason is that you are smelly. And the reason is that they don't like you. Romans 10, verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful are the feet. Wow. Smelling boy. How many have known somebody who's smelling or has a smell? Raise your hand and stop pretending. If you live for some time, you will see. I don't want to even say who is smelling. I don't want to even say it. How beautiful are the feet. You start, so heaven looks at you and it's nice. I like him. I like her. Beautiful. Ah, look. Nice. Beautiful. How beautiful are the feet? If the feet are beautiful, how much more the face? What do you expect of the face? It must be beautiful too. Beautiful feet must go with beautiful feet. Yeah. The hips must be beautiful. Yes. You're attractive. We even ask sometimes, as doctors, we ask the size of your shoe. If you want to give you, sometimes at least my professor taught me, you know, a certain size, below a certain size, they don't deliver normally. Yes. So you ask, what size is your shoe? Because the size of your foot will determine the size of the bones in your body, will determine the size of the waist and the hips and the things that must open up. Yes. Karatapalaba. So the size of your feet and the beauty of your feet will determine the beauty of other aspects of you. As seen by heaven, heaven's view of you. Beautiful that they look at you and say, beauty, that's a beauty. The Father, Lord, have you seen this beauty over there? And the Lord will look and say, wow, what a beauty. Archbishop Idahosa, when he had a Bible school, he used to take the whole school for crusades. Yeah, they grew up doing crusades. The whole school was the crusade directors. Yes, he would take them to go and do crusades, win souls, you see miracles, everything. That's how they grew up. That's all the products of the school. They are all over Ghana and all over the world. They didn't grow up just following doctrines and going to Bible school to learn doctrines and ideas and text from textbooks. They grew up practically doing the outreach. It gives a certain life. It changes things. You have too many priests and pastors who are non-evangelistic. They are like asexual amoebas. They are like they have no reproductive parts. Yes. You want no reproductive parts? When you get to heaven, you have no reproductive part. I spoke to somebody who, I know I didn't speak, but I read in a book. Said when they went to heaven, and she was now a spirit before they came back. He said when he looked down, I mean, because he was wondering, how is he now? When he looked down, it was flat. Everything was gone. No reproductive parts. Are you listening? But here on earth, you have reproductive parts. The church has the outreach and the crusade aspect. Breakfast meetings, soul to soul. Where are your evangelistic lunches and dinners? Where are they? Where are the evangelistic breakfast meetings? Where is the soul to soul, door to door, man to man, person to person ministry of the church? When it is there, the church becomes very nice to God. Very, very beautiful. How beautiful are their feet? It's one of the only places in the Bible where you see the word beautiful. Beautiful. Kataru mandalaba. And finally, you are delivered from one of the greatest evils when you do evangelism. You are delivered from one of the greatest. I've already said murder charge. But now, you are defenseless against distractions. Yes, distractions. Which is one of the greatest curses you have, Christians. Matthew 24. And this is the last scripture I'm giving you this morning as we close. Verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready. Amen. Are you ready? Who is the faithful servant? Whom his Lord made ruler over his household to give them what? Meat in due season. You see, meat, not just meat, but meat in due season. Rejoiner said the Lord appeared to him, was speaking to him. He said he was out of time with a book he was supposed to publish. He was supposed to have published it earlier. And the Lord was not pleased with him that he has not released that book earlier. And that he was late in releasing it. Meat is useless if it doesn't come in due season. Wow. I saw a beloved quarrel. He came to visit at 10 o'clock in the morning. And now she said he was hungry and she was now making food for him. The food came around 8 p.m. that she was making food for him from 10. And he said he was hungry. He was dying. You see, all my stories are real. You would think that I'm just making up things. He watched a Chinese movie. The movie ended. And the food still was not there. Watch another Chinese movie. The Indian movie. What are movies? How long will it take? Meet in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord shall come and find so doing. Now, he shall make him ruler. But notice what is going to happen when you don't focus on giving meat in due season. Soul winning in time before the person dies. You know, one time I was called to come and speak to somebody. He just wanted me to. I don't know what he wanted. But he died before I got there. He was in the hospital. I was actually making up my mind whether to go or not. And then I heard he was dead. But he called for me. I didn't go in time. I would have gone, but because I wasn't sure whether I was hearing the right message. Because earlier he had not wanted to hear of me or see me at all. I had told him that he should be born again. He was very angry. Yeah. Now, what happens when the Lord delays, when you delay? Verse 49. If that servant shall say, my Lord delayeth, eh? And then what does he do? He shall begin to smite his fellow servants. You see, when you don't do your work, you start looking at fellows around and start hitting them. Yeah. Yeah. When you don't do your work, all people who are not working, they are the ones who have time to smite fellow servants. Because we are all servants of the Lord. So you become a specialist at attacking fellow servants. Like, all of us are servants of the Lord. And you there, your specialty is what? Or even your only preoccupation is to smite somebody who is also a servant of God. Yes. You hear Bishop Edipo is doing it, then you have something to say. You hear this person, you have something to say. You hear Benny Hinn is doing, you have something to say. Because we are all fellow servants. That's why anybody who says anything about any man of God, including any man of God, you see, it shows that the person has been distracted from his work. Yes. It's distracted. Completely. Because as soon as give yourself to providing meat in season, you see that you don't have time for this. It's completely. And that's why when we stop evangelism, we open ourselves to these demons of criticism. You start to see the faults in everybody. I never knew that somebody could see a fault in Bonkey. Reinhard Bonnke. I never knew. The things that I read, I said, I can't believe it. Yes. Unbelievable. There are people who are specialists of smiting fellow servants. They are completely distracted from the real. The souls that are in the world for us. You see, when we started praying for souls, you see that now? What you do? What you say? Kathmandu, here we come. Mongolia is waiting. Malaysia is waiting. Indonesia is waiting. The islands are waiting. Many countries are waiting. Many. And he says, when that servant says in his head, oh, judgment is not now, then he shall begin to smite his fellow servants. And then what else does he do? To eat and drink with the drunken. That is when you see that we start to live in sin. Yes. To eat and drink with the drunk. So sin now, you are now open to sin. You see, if you are going out to evangelize, you know you are hot. What you do? Are you now going to walk in sin? Is it time to get drunk? When you are out there trying to reach somebody, will you have time for sin? It also shows a level of idleness. Sin in your life shows a level of idleness. Yes. And a level of a lack of the focus. Because when you have time, it means you are to pray. Look, this pandemic, that's why I said, no, I have to take certain decisions. Because I can sense that the pandemic wants to end without me doing certain things. And I will look back and ask myself that 6 months, 9 months, 1 year, you couldn't travel, you couldn't go. Why couldn't you do this, 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 and that? I won't tell you what it is, because it's none of your business. Not that it's not your business. Don't be angry. Why do you get angry when I'm preaching? I don't understand it. You are distracted. I think you are distracted. Before I realize you are smiting me. When we focus. Yes. We are building a church at Dawadawa number 2. Right now, as I speak, they are there. They are constructing the church. Somebody asked the person who was building, our bishop in the area who is involved in building the church, asking that, do you have members? And he told me, we have 70 people in that town. 70 people there. They are waiting for a church building. You are distracted. That's why you find something wrong with everything. You are asking whether there are people there. There are ghosts. There are ghosts there. There are ghosts. I'll smite you just now. If that evil servant shall say in that, you'll never be called an evil servant as long as you live. You'll never be called an evil servant. Focus on the work. Focused. Focused. There is a town in Malawi. I promised the people. I said, we will come to you. What is it called? Karonga. I said, we'll be there. I promised the pastors. I said, look, I will come to this town. Wow. My mind is on that town. I have to go there. I have to go there. I have to be there. Because I told the pastor that I will come there. I have to go there. Because I told him I will come there. And I hear one of them has died even. Yeah. But I told him I will come. Don't worry. The town is far in the corner. Karonga. I'll be there. You don't have much to do. That's why you have time to criticize. You don't have much to do. I'm telling you. You are idle. And there's no hope and place for an idle person in the house of God. And a lazy person. Lazy people have no jobs here. And idle people also have no place. Karapata Shabaya. So, we need to put on the preparation of the gospel of Jesus on our feet to defend ourselves from a whole lot of things, especially murder charges, abominations, distractions, and what? Put it there. What? Depression, aimlessness, going around in circles. Attacks. Smelliness. Every church must be an outreaching church. Don't let anybody make you feel that, oh, you are this zealous, young, outreaching type of, whatever. They are backsliding. They are backsliding. They are starchy Christianity, dead Christianity. They are backsliding. Don't let them look down on you. Do you know my age? As I'm doing outreach, do you know my age? Don't let me start telling you my age. Let's reach out. It makes us happy. Yeah. You sing. You know what? How do you know how we started having stars? It was singing. I came and I said, oh, who can sing here? Who can sing? That was it. It was to make singing so that we can have an outreach and invite people. That was how the whole idea of stars came about. And I started selecting all kinds of people. I've always been finding singers. My whole life has been used to find singers. Yes. First day, the first meeting, I was to find singers because we are going to do an outreach. It protects you. 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 It's a defense. Otherwise, Paul would not have called it a part of the armor. Yes, he would not have called it a part of the armor. He would have called it something else. But it's actually a part of your defense. If you like, sit there. Say you will not evangelize. The person will evangelize you into something, you'll be shocked. So open yourself up. I mean, when I see pastors who are not into evangelism, I always know there's something wrong with them. Yeah. And if you listen to somebody like Ben Hinn, you see that he's a hardcore soul winner. Hardcore. Blood of Jesus, hardcore soul winning man. He's almost 70 years old. Watch him. Hardcore soul winning man. He's always been blood of Jesus, hardcore soul winner. When that one goes down, there's a change. And there's an openness to demons. Yes. Very dangerous. Watch every pastor and you see. When that thing goes off, you see that. but it's just the feet. Just the feet. It's because you are young that you don't know what is feet. There are many diseases you can get from your legs. You will be shocked. Yes. That your leg can even be amputated. Then you see that, yes, it's only feet. It's just my feet that have a sore. Today marks the end of your defenselessness around your feet. Yes. Today marks the end. Whatever group you represent and whatever group you are part of, make sure that your feet are well covered and defended heavily. Yes. Instead of sitting there and saying, why will nobody marry me? And why is no one choosing me? Get out there and start evangelizing. You'll be shocked what the Lord will do. First of all, your countenance will change. and your attitude and your spirit will change. You'll be more joyful and more attractive. And this melancholic person with just doing hair and needles on your face and just trying to look nice, to attract. No. Let a good spirit come in you. Evangelism. 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 It's a defense. It's a defense. It's a protection. It's a protection. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Stand to your feet, everybody. As every head is bowed, if you are watching, want to give your life to Jesus, Pastor, pray with me. I want to be born again, and I want Jesus to save me. I want to write my, don't want to go to hell. I want God to change me. I want God to change me. And I want to be changed. I want Jesus to come into my life. God bless you. If you are here like that, lift your hand. I'm praying with you right now. Lift your hand. Let's all lift our hands and say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, please wash me with the blood of Jesus. Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. Wash away my sins. Make me a new person. Thank you, Lord. I'm sorry for all my sins. Please accept me as your child. From today, I will serve you. I will obey you. Please write my name in the book of life. From today, I belong to God. I belong to Jesus. I will serve Jesus all the days of my life. Thank you, Father, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now lift your hand and let's pray concerning the divine protection of the preparation of the gospel, the defense that comes upon you. Heavy defenses, heavy perimeters. Makatara sabasha. For soul winning ventures and efforts that you make. Makatara bashobara balababa. Malakita rabola mashandala bakabara dalaba. In the name of Jesus, let the defenses be lifted high. And let the church be the greatest soul-winning flame ever. Let the fire of soul-winning and the evangelization of the world rest upon the church. Every quarter, every corner of the church be turned into a soul-winning machine full of fire and zeal, full of joy of the Lord. Marita rumba redeliko stalaba. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for every mission, every effort, every crusade, every outreach, every attempt, Lord, to do something great for your kingdom. Grant us, O Lord, even more zeal to be tireless and relentless in the pursuit of souls across the world. Let us never be tired of movement, whether it's movement to the left or movement to the right or movement to a far place. Lord, grant us serenity and grace to accept your will, to go everywhere and to reach out. Thank you, Father, for establishing your church and doing your perfect will through evangelism and soul winning. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you. At this time, we are going to receive Holy Communion. Amen. I want you to take your communion at home. Amen.
Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life.
Take your bread. Oh, yes.
It will sustain you. It will make you whole. It will give you life. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood,
Psalm 105 and verse 40. It says, the people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He satisfied them with the bread of heaven. And then he opened the rock, and the waters gushed out, and they ran in dry places like a river. Among the blessings and miracles that God does for you is to satisfy you with the bread of heaven. Right now, Father, we present this body to you, and we thank you, Lord. We know that this, as we pray over it, it's not the bread that we bought in Sainsbury's or we bought on the roadside, but it transforms before us into the bread of heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for your body which is broken for us. We believe that as we take this bread, it is now the bread of heaven, the bread of Jesus, the body of Jesus Christ. Let every evil and dark thing in our lives be banished as soon as this bread enters our mouths. The bread of heaven, the bread of God, the body of Jesus Christ. Let every foul and wicked thing depart from our lives and our bodies. As we take a portion of heaven on earth, we receive the bread of heaven, the body of Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven. Now, the blood, whatever represents your mistakes, if we say we have no sin, it is a deception. It's one of the deceptions. Now, may this blood, this wine that we take, represent the blood that came from heaven also. May our sins and the reason for which demons may have access to our life be closed up now. The covering is completed. The sins are washed away. The accuser has no basis. Dariko Rando Rando Ramananda. In the name of Jesus Christ, rebuke the eyes of the enemy that looks upon us with wicked intentions. And let the blood of Jesus cleanse us from all iniquity and all mistakes. The blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now lift your hands for your blessing. Father, thank you for the children all over Ghana, all over the world, that are part of this blessing. I declare They are now your favorite children. For mistakes, Lord, we acknowledge. But because of the blood, in righteousness is imputed to us. And we have obtained mercy at your throne. Now, Lord, rebuke the evil eyes that look upon us with evil intention. Curse the hand of the wicked that rises up against us. Confuse the counsel of the traitors and the counsel of the wicked ones in our midst. Randu katalbo ashilmando karamanda. And bless forever all those that favor your righteous cause and those that descend your body, the body of Jesus Christ. May all those who are part of the body of Christ be favored and part of this family be favored with the favor of the Lord. Whatever you lack and whatever shortcoming you have in your life, may it be filled up by the bread of heaven. May you be satisfied by the bread of heaven. And may you be filled up. And may your righteousness be made complete through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Father, I thank you. As you said in your word, on this wise shall you bless the children of Israel. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. And may he smile in your direction. May he look favorably and approvingly upon you. May you be approved of God. May you be loved of God. May you be desired of the Lord. May the Lord look upon you and say, this one has beautiful feet. This one is my son. This one is my daughter. And may you have the blessing. As I bless you with the blessing of a father, may you receive the blessing as a child is blessed of his father and a daughter is blessed of her father. Rindolanda lanagora zigodudu chashana lama namazanda. May that blessing lift you up like a magnet is lifting up something that there is no explanation for. Narakoste nila mamanda. And may you be lifted out of the miry clay that sucks you down and placed upon a rock to stay. I transfer you from the mud to the rock. Adrika to runjamalada. I declare you washed with the waters of the Lord and covered with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Where you haven't been before, Marando Salamamaka, you shall be there. A better place. For this is the day the Lord transfers you into your wealthy place. Be blessed of the Lord. Be blessed and may your mouth be filled and satisfied. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.